Today is April the 24th, 2010, and Mark wanted to do a discussion about
Reformed Presbyterian Church Synod.
And I think that sprung out of, you know, the fact that we used to be members of the Reformed Presbyterian Church of North America. You know, if I were going to title this message, I would call it Synods, Sessions, Creeds, Confessions, and Other Extra-Biblical Paraphernalia. Synods, Creeds, Sessions, Books of Discipline, and Creeds and Other Extra-Biblical Paraphernalia. You know what paraphernalia is?
No.
Well, drug paraphernalia is anything that you need to do drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Like hypodermic needles, bombs, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, organized religion has their paraphernalia. They say, we only go by the Word of God, and then they add all of this extra biblical stuff on. And by the time all of the doctors and lawyers and Indians chiefs gets through with it, it's not the Bible at all. Now, we're just going to look at their constitution. Now, it says here, standards subordinate to the Word of God. The problem is, when you get politics involved in these extra biblical mandates, it's not subordinate to the Word of God. It takes precedence over the Word of God. And that's my argument about a lot of this extra biblical stuff that people use to try to control their members. The Confession of Faith, the larger and shorter catechisms. Talking about the Westminster Confession of Faith? I'm sure they are. How many times has the larger and shorter catechisms been revised? The Testimony, the Directory for Church Government. Who concocted that monster, I wonder? The Book of Discipline. Oh-ho. And the Directory for the Worship of God, together with official vows and forms. Copyright. Well, they had a copyright in 1989. They had a copyright in 1998. They had a copyright in 2004. So they've changed it three times since 89. Well, the 2004 edition includes revisions of synods. Whoa. Revisions. You know, remember the Revised Standard Version of the Bible? Well, mm-hmm. They revise all of these things. They revise them and analyze them and dramatize them and so on. Of church censures, of synods and councils. Well, the larger catechism, the shorter catechism, the Directory for Church Government, the communicant membership, the session, the board of deacons, the presbytery, the synods, the rules of order for meeting of a synod. I'll tell you what. Removal of a case from a lower to a higher court. Well, folks, this is not the New Testament church. Now, it says the Westminster Confession of Faith adopted in 1648. Well, how many times have they changed that puppy? The Testimony of the Reformed Presbyterian Church adopted August 1980? Well, what happened from the inception of the Reformed Presbyterian Church of North America to 1980. What was it that they caused them to adopt this in 1980, I ask? Okay, now, all these confessions, of course, they try to use Scripture, but they've got their own little extra-biblical things at the side of it. And I tell you that this is man-centered stuff. It was made up by man. They say we reject all theories of composition that makes the writers mere editors collective of human tradition and liturgy, so that their writings are but human accounts or interpretations of religious developments under God. But that's exactly what they're doing with these creeds, confessions, and synods and sessions. The Word of God isn't enough. Well, I mean, they've got some good confessions here about rejecting certain things and all of that, and they've got some good, but the problem with it is that God's Word is the only rule for faith and life. We don't have to come up with a shorter and larger catechism to replace the Bible. We don't have to come up with that. The Bible's enough. And, you know, we're looking at 328 pages of extra biblical stuff put out by this organization. That's extra biblical, that members must subscribe to. It's bad, almost as bad as the Obama health bill, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, that's the problem with so many of these organized religion. You know, there's no Westminster Confession of Faith in the New Testament. There's no larger and shorter catechism or book of discipline or communicant member requirements or any of that. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You know? And we're going to try to put people in a box by making them subscribe to all this extra biblical stuff. I'm not saying I don't agree with some of the things they set forth. What I'm saying is to make that a mandate for church membership is not biblical. They talk about they only go by the regulated principle of the Bible. Why don't they include that in their standards about these extra-biblical, man-centered documents? So that's what organized religion is. It's replacing the Bible with creeds, confessions, catechisms, creeds, sessions, synods, and then coming up with church discipline and book of order, and you know, then we wonder how we eventually get into Aesop's fables and C.S. Lewis and Screwtape Letter movies. How would we ever get to that? Well, it starts with man, it ends with man. And anyway, I think that they say here all people are required to worship the true God in a scriptural manner with sincerity of heart. Proper worship is to be conducted in an orderly manner. The tendency is to emphasize ritual, liturgy, and ceremony is contrary to the scripture. Well, then why are you subscribing to all these extra-biblical notions then, if you really believe that? That's my question to you. Why? 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 Anyway, we could go into a lot of this larger and shorter catechism. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. Let's talk a little bit about their book of discipline. Their book of discipline could be very interesting. Now, it was adopted in 2003, I want you to know. What did they change from the time they started to now? It's proof they've changed it, because it was changed from its inception to 2003. Okay? is what it is. And they go through and they start making a lot of man-centered remarks. We call this preventive discipline. Well, you know, the Bible upholds church discipline, but it does not uphold a man-centered book that you have to subscribe to be a member of a church called the Book of Discipline. And you know, it's pretty amazing. And you know, they're going to start trying to talk about courts. The court may deal with the situation directly or by judicial commission. Oh, really? Well, the imposition of church censures, suspension, deposition, excommunication. Well, the Bible teaches excommunication, but it doesn't teach a man-centered court, rights of appeal. Huh. Well, and parties to the case. Special provisions. None of this is biblical. This is all man-centered stuff that somebody took a regular legal with a legal mind and put this into their moderator, clerk, summons of the court, second summons, and on and on and on. Trial courts, trial of cases. You know, the says the court itself or either of the parties may require the witnesses to be sworn. The Bible says we're not supposed to swear by oaths. And they're requiring their own members to take oaths? Well, I'll tell you. That's where it leads to, folks. Removal of a case from a lower court to a higher court. Well, look. The highest court in the land is God Almighty. And man cannot take the place of God. Man cannot know the heart of another man. The clerk shall read the sentence, blah, blah, blah. The answer of the lower court to reason of appeal shall be read. This is, now they got a directory for the church, directory for the worship of God adopted in 1945. What happened between the time the church started in 1945? And then it has the general directions. Okay. Well, so these, this, and I'm not picking on just the Reformed Presbyterian Church in North America. This is pretty much in all organized religions. Okay? Anyway, the says intercessory prayer should be carefully planned. Why should you have to plan prayer? The number of prayers should be determined. You know, God requires His people to give a portion of their substance to Him, and this should be done cheerfully, regularly, and as He has prospered them. Well, based on the tithe as a minimum. Huh. So they require tithing. Where can you show me that in the New Testament church? And then it says, the individual's first obligation is to his own congregation, the entire word of the church, and carefully planned by the synod. By the synod? Well, this is why I'm having a problem with all of this extra-biblical stuff. Says here, the minister is to prepare preaching, and his message should be adapted in content and delivery to his audience. Why should you analyze your audience? Why should you go by what God tells you to preach? Why do you have to go by what your audience wants and try to analyze your audience before you preach? Then, of course, baptism is applied by sprinkling or pouring, though the church accepts baptism by immersion. Really? Well, they go for all three. And then the parents shall take the covenant of baptism in relation to their child. Well, there's no grounds for infant baptism. And then it says here, you should get a certificate of baptism. Where in the New Testament did anybody get a certificate of baptism? Tell me. Well, there's an awful lot of requirements to be a member of this church. And, you know, organized religion comes with all of these extra-biblical things. Confessions, longer and shorter catechism that's been changed, book of discipline, church government, okay, Sabbath school superintendent. The superintendent is the executive officer of the school and should carefully plan and work for its efficiency and success. He shall be elected for 1 year but shall be eligible for... Where's that in the Bible? Where's their Sabbath school? Where's that at? Training classes under competent leadership shall be held for development of teachers. Oh, really? They have women teaching the Sabbath school classes? Probably. Attention should be given to the memorizing of the catechisms. Well, why is that? Why can't we stick with the Bible? An offering should be taken each Sabbath, and the members of the school should be taught and encouraged to give. So they want you to be taught to give to the Sabbath school. Young People's Society. Well, the Young People's Society should elect its officers annually. Where's that in the Bible? Young People's Society. Women's Missionary Society. Where's that in the Bible? Tell me. To unite the women of the congregation. Missionary. Women's Missionary Society. Well, it all sounds good. The problem is that when you have to try to put everything down in man's terms, then it gets to be a man-centered religion. That's what it is. Official vows you have to take. Okay? And it says right here in the vows, do you promise to submit to the teaching and government of this church described in the Constitution of the Reformed Presbyterian Presbyterian Church in North America. So you're upholding all of those man-centered things when you take those vows. Number four, do you believe and accept the system of doctrine, the manner of worship set forth in the Westminster Confession of Faith, the large and shorter catechisms, and the testimony of Reformed Presbyterian Church? You know, in other words, if you don't subscribe to something outside the Bible, you can't be a member of the church. Well, that's what they're promoting, folks. Do you promise subjection to the Lord, to the courts of this church? My goodness. They have all kind of forms. They have forms of certificate of transfer of membership. They have the forms of certificate of dismissal. They have forms of certificate of reception and a certificate of dismissal for an indifferent member. Certificate of dismissal for a member requesting to be removed. Certificate of teaching elder. Certificate of delegates to presbyteries or synods. And on and on and on. That goes, and where it stops, nobody knows. From your head down to your toes, organized religion, out the window it goes. That's what the way I see it.
Even, too.
Oh yeah, and they even got a form for pastor's call, how much he's going to get paid. Per month for housing, an interest-free loan for down payment on housing, payment for utilities, now for their car and van, mileage per mile, book allowance, study office equipment, synod, presbytery fees, and camps, and seminars, and educational meetings, and secretarial services, and hospitality services, health insurance. No wonder these people are so intimidated by the church.
Mm-hmm.
Moving expenses, on and on and on. Well, folks, this is not biblical stuff. Edict for the ordination, installation, and installation of ruling elders and deacons. Certification of eligibility to preach. Well, that tells you something right there. The certificate shall be for a term of 5 years. Oh, so where's that in the Bible? Can you tell me? Certificate of licensure is for 5 years. Where's that in the Bible? Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, then of course they have their little record of service and talking about students of theology and certificates to preach and certificates of licensures and ordinations and when they're installed and when they're released, disciplinary actions, blah, 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 blah. Charge of sin brought against people. Accusations of sin. Summons to the accused accompanying the charge to appear in court. Oath of a witness. Do you swear by the living God that you will tell the truth? That you're not supposed to swear under God. Not according to the Bible. Anyway. Suspension of a member.
Excuse me. Sorry.
excommunication forms, oath of purgation. Anyway, these are the key things that come up in organized religion. History of the standards. The standards are, it says, the Westminster Confession of Faith, Catechism, large and short, the testimony of Reformed Presbyterian Church of North America, the Directory for Church Government, the Book of Discipline, and the Directory for Worship. Where's the Bible in that, I ask? Where's the Bible? The first organized congregation of the Reformed Presbyterian Church in America was that of Middle Octora, Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, in 1738. Reformed Presbytery was constituted in 1774 by ministers sent for that purpose. And it says that John Culberson, who came from Scotland in 1752, and Matthew Lynn and Alexander Dobin, who came from Ireland in 1774, after its dissolution in 1782, the Reformed Presbyterian Church of the United States of North America was constituted in 1798 in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The synod was constituted in 1809. First record now extant of church standards are referenced in 1802, and early decision display of judicial testimony, and so on. But it wasn't until 1806 the Presbytery adopted the historical view with a preface and declaration and testimony. And then in 1834, a continuation of the historical view was approved, which you know. And then a complete revision of it was authorized in 1921. What about the people that took it in 1834? And then it says, the argument and testimony was designed to examine the various system of doctrine, and four chapters were prepared in Overture in 1841. And then in 1845, the plan of work was changed. And then it was amended in 1823 in addition. And then proof texts were added in 1834, and in 1861 a section was added on secret associations and so on. So they just kept changing it over time. The Bible does not change. It's unchangeable. In 1807, the Presbytery adopted revisions of the terms of communion and the formulas of queries. Oh, so the Bible is not the only rule of faith and life. Not the only rule of faith in life, not in this organization, and not in most organized religions. The terms were amended in 1823 by the substitution of the name Synod. In 1841, the second statement of the first term was restored after years of omission. Then there was another amendment in 1871. In 1938, a complete revision was adopted. In 1948, the new fourth term was amended to fit the revised standards. And on it goes. It appears that the Westminster Standards, with the exception of the form of government, was not printed by the church in her official publications. And so we see that it's a committee of four men was appointed in 1939 to work on a revision of the form of government. And then the Synod of 1969 gave approval to the rewriting of the testimony of the church. Well, in 1980, Synod declared the revised testimony to be the law and order of the church. Oh, so the latest and greatest is what takes place now. And then, following several years of study by the Synod, in 1981 they appointed a special committee to revise and rewrite the form of church government. Isn't that interesting? God is not a changing God. God's word is unchangeable. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. All these newfangled versions don't mean anything. And so people that want to try to say you have to subscribe to all these man-made changes and documents, there, you can't be a member, I don't want to have any part of it. Period. I'm not taking any kind of oaths for church membership. I'm not going to be involved in Westminster confessions and catechisms and Reformed Presbyterian testimonies and church government directories for worships. And it says, do you believe Presbyterianism would be the only divine institute form of government of the Christian church? No, I do not. I do reject that and all of your man-centered stuff. Anyway, so that's kind of a nutshell of what I think about the synods. The
it's way too long.
Well, it's not only way too long, it's man-centered. Yeah. It's man-centered stuff. And like you said, you'd have to be a Philadelphia lawyer to understand most of it. The gospel's simple. I mean, the gospel's full of theology, and it has enough theology for anybody. Don't have to have all this extra stuff, books of discipline, and describing that all manners of baptism are acceptable, and all of that stuff.
You think they're just sinning, or just trying to purposely sin?
I think they are definitely believe that they are right, and everybody else is wrong.
Yeah.
The Directory for Church Government.
They will be judged.
And that's why they, you know, they've got to try to promote common grace in there. And they try to, you know, always set forth their synods and councils are the ones that settle matters of faith and conscience, of course.
Yeah.
If you don't go along with their little two-step program, you're going to be out the door.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so that's sort of my thinking about all this stuff. And I don't uphold it. And I think it ends up bringing more sin into the church than leaving out of the church, because it's man-centered. And man is the furthest thing from God. That's why God gave us the Word of God. And that's my position that I'll live with, and that's probably the position I'll die with. Dear Lord, we pray that you would take this brief analysis of one organization, like so many other, that has man-centered creed synod sessions, and show to people that they only have to rely upon your word and your Holy Spirit to be a member of the body of Christ. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.